so we can get started today. As Don Lasisit, welcome back. And so that set our motivation for doing the practice tonight. We can also be so grateful for the Gaudapa Center for giving this opportunity for us to get together and receive these teachings. And we're on the topic of guru devotion, so we can also rejoice that we have a perfectly qualified Mahayana Purusha's friend, which is just the Lam Rim, and take us all the way from here to enlightenment. May we always have all the causes and conditions to receive those teachings and to be perfectly qualified students also. So let's begin by reading the prayers, starting with the refuge in bodhicitta prayer. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened, to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merit I carry through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha in order to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened, to the Buddha, the Dharma, the Supreme Assembly. By the merit I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha in order to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened, to the Buddha, the Dharma, the Supreme Assembly. By the merit I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha in order to benefit all sentient beings. Its crown anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as the Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. O holy and perfect Dalai Lama, from the clouds of compassionate form of the skies of your Dharmakaya wisdom, please release the rain of vast and profound karma precisely in accordance with the needs of those to be trained. Idam Guru Ratamandalakam Niryatayami. Okay, now we are, if you're following on the text, if you have your own text, we are on day 11 and under the topic, His Kindness in Assembling Disciples Through Material Gifts. And it's the paragraph after the long quote from the Array of Stock Sutra, where youthful Sudhana recalled the kindness of the spiritual guide. And so we're starting with, there is a way of applying these. I wish you could find that section. Take a second or two for you to find it. The hard copy is on page 217. I'm going to start reading, and if you have any questions, please send a chat to Tomasi. There is a way of applying these to the side of complete enlightenment. Assembling the milk of good qualities refers to the bodhisattva's conduct on the path of accumulation, being endowed with a new quality of generosity not previously possessed. Mother refers to the path of preparation. The limbs of enlightenment and so forth refer to the path of seeing. These spiritual masters and so on refers to the path of meditation from the first ground up to the seventh. Briefly, from old age and death refers to the eighth ground. Send down a rain of nectar refers to the ninth ground. Like the moon and sun refers to the tenth ground. On the side of nirvana, tapa, the Buddha, friends and enemies and so on refer to the temporary benefits. You should change the sudana to I so that you are thinking, with such a mind, may I come to be this way. This is a cause for bodhicitta and moreover becomes a means of relying upon your guru. It also becomes a means of relying upon your guru through recalling the resultant enlightenment. If these verses are difficult to understand, you can recite teachings from the essence of nectar, stages of the path, that state. Having ordained and left home life, which is like a pit of fire, and abiding in solitude with the conduct of a sage, I experience the supreme taste of nectar, holy karma, which is all due to the kindness of my venerable guru. Having searched for many thousands of eons, I have met the teachings of Jungo Lama, so difficult to find. And to attain confidence in the system of his teachings, which is due to the kindness of my holy tutors. For that reason, the spiritual masters of mine are protectors, protecting me from the body of the lower realms, captains liberating me from the ocean of samsara, and guides leading me to the ground of higher status and liberation. They are doctors curing the chronic illness of the afflicted emotions, a stream to pacify the great fires of suffering, a lamp to dispel the darkness of ignorance, sons of the teachings illuminating the path of liberation, liberators from the prison shackles of samsara, rain clouds sending a gentle rain of holy karma, friends who produce benefit dispelling harm, and parents eternally protecting me with love. If we recite the aforementioned verses while recalling their meaning, it is very easy to understand, thereby giving significance to recalling the kindness of your guru. Pleasing him through action. The ornament of the Mahayana Sutras states, you should rely upon your spiritual master by way of veneration, material things, service, and practice. Thus, for actual offering of material belongings, venerating him or her, or providing service, although you may not be able to actually provide these services due to not being in his presence, you can nevertheless apply yourself sincerely to their sequential application by means of the Lamrim ritual preliminaries, Lamachirpa, and so on. As I explained before, the supreme service is accomplishing your practice. If you realize the meaning through practicing what you have learned, this will be the primary form of offering. The Jataka tales state, the offering to be made in return for my help is to practice in accordance with my instructions. Jeli Milarepa says, I repay the kindness of my guru to practice. Je Drowe Zompo, 1508-1548, also stated, regardless of whether or not a certain dog will stay by my side when I give him dog food and gulps it down without chewing, it will remain before its giver staring with wide open eyes. Likewise, when we first meet a lama, although it may damage our commitment to the guru, we still request the lama to compose a more extensive sadhana. From the time we begin learning to write letters, we want to learn whatever is the most difficult and request a religious instruction, such as the meaning of a place to meaning of place it in a skull cup, just because it is considered the most difficult. Most people do not understand even those words if they ask for the next ones. We should first understand the words individually. There is no way of engaging in concentration other than that. Whatever we visualize, that mind should be established in virtue. If you concentrate on a sentence about the objects of attachment from the beginning to end, you will be focusing on the mind of attachment. When you are not focusing on any of the afflictive emotions at all, this is called concentration. Therefore, you should be like a dog that is given food and gulps it down without chewing. Next, if you spend your life engaged solely in practicing and learning karma, it will be as the previous Kadampa stated, a great deal of listening with very little meditation is the cause of becoming insensitive to the karma. You should understand that the reason for the Lama teaching karma is so that the disciple will practice. If we give the concise essential meaning, the 50 verses of Guru Devotion say, what need is there to expound on this any further? You should sincerely apply yourself by doing whatever pleases your Guru and forsaking all that causes displeasure. As a state, you should practice to the best of your ability all that is pleasing to your Guru and abandon the things that are displeasing. A repeated explanation and a concise teaching on how to sustain that according to the previous explanation. This is from the perspective of meditating solely on the way to rely on the spiritual guide in a single session. If you are engaging in mere scanning meditation, it is permissible to go over all the headings briefly in each session as a way of performing scanning meditation. If you are striving to attain realization, you should continue until you gain a thorough experience of each heading. However, the way of carrying this out in combination with placement meditation will be explained extensively later. Next, complete your recitation of the Lamrim preliminary rituals. Moreover, you can add the other sections of the Lamrim in the same way and combine them with this practice. It is also permissible to meditate on the actual generation and completion stages and so on. Finally, you and all living beings transformed as a Buddha Shakyamuni, Contemplating that you have attained a state of Buddha Shakyamuni is similar to the supreme conqueror of the mandala and the practice of mantra. Conclude with dedication prayers for whatever you have practiced. In the evening, as you lie down to sleep, you should recite whatever extensive prayers you can, such as the prayer of noble conduct, to dedicate the roots of virtue accumulated on that day. In general, from the very start of your meditation, you should not create bad habits. Therefore, it is good to spread out your meditations into numerous short sessions and so on. As you gain greater familiarity, it is permissible to extend the length of the sessions. The session breaks. The session breaks are very important. If you let your mind become engaged in whatever happens to come along during the session breaks, you will demolish what little progress you have so carefully made during the session. For example, although you may meditate on impermanence during the session, you generate nothing but thoughts grasping at permanence during the session breaks, the careful application you undertook during the session will be undermined. The same thing also applies to the other topics. Therefore, you must implement methods so that whatever you meditated on during the session does not deteriorate during the session breaks. Therefore, do read texts taught by the teacher together with their commentaries that directly relate to your practice during the actual session. The session break will be strengthened and enhanced by the session, and the session will be further enhanced by the session breaks. The term enhanced means to make progress, advance, and develop. While developing proper reliance upon the spiritual guide, you should focus on presentations of that, such as the teachings on the stages of the path and biographies of qualified beings. The system of restraining the doors of the senses is different from that taught during the generation stage. In general, developing an awareness of pleasing objects and displeasing objects causes us to subsequently generate attachment, hatred, and so forth. Therefore, in this practice, we block the generation of attachment for the six pleasing objects and the hatred for the six displeasing objects that is subsequently generated, but not allowing the mind to engage in whatever appears to your consciousness. For that, we try not to come into contact with an object, and even if we do come in contact with an object, we rely upon an antidote to prevent us from developing attachment and so forth. It is very important that we don't engage in the object we encounter. Therefore, you should also abandon your homeland. Nyunchu Gyaltse Tonmen, 1297-1371, stated in his 37 Practices of a Bodhisattva, attached to friends and relatives, you are agitated like water. With hatred for enemies, you blaze like fire. In the darkness of ignorance, you forget to adopt and discard. Abandoning one's homeland is a practice of the Bodhisattva. It has been repeatedly stated by the previous holy beings that you should abandon your homeland. They will continue to generate attachment and hatred for objects such as forms, sounds, and so on, right down to something as simple as a cup of tea. Therefore, it's extremely important that we don't come into contact with such objects. With the exception of the former lion-like beings such as Jetson Milarepa, there will be numerous obstacles when we ordinary beings remain in solitude. With that in mind, the conqueror Dontopa said, prepare an assembly of somewhere between 3 and 5 assistants. Thus, it would be good for us to rely upon somewhere between 3 and 5 noble friends. It makes no difference whether the objects that increase our afflictive emotions are from another area or our own. However, when we encounter objects, if we don't grasp that characteristics of good and bad thinking, this is attractive, this is unattractive, they will not be capable of generating attachment, hatred, and so on. Regarding the employment of inspection, Shanti Deva's guide to the Bodhisattva's way of life states, in short, the definition of introspection is nothing more to repeat more than to repeatedly examine the state of your body and mind. This is a summary of the essential points of something such as the vows of engaging bodhicitta. There is also an extensive presentation on guarding introspection taught in one of the chapters, which indicates how important introspection of the mind is. Shanti Deva's guide to the Bodhisattva's way of life also presents a system of introspection when it states, what is the use of a multitude of activities other than the courageous action of protecting the mind? This is in reference to guarding the mind. Therefore, you should constantly examine your body, speech, and mind at all times and be relentless with respect to non-virtuous states of mind. If you let your body, speech, and mind run wild, you will not be aware of whether or not you are engaging in non-virtue. Therefore, it is extremely important that you constantly examine the state of your mind at all times. Atisha Bodhisattva Jewel Garland also states, imagine your speech when you are among many, examine your mind when you are alone. Furthermore, we should practice according to the example of Padam Geshe Ben Bungal. He stated, I have no other text task than to hold the spear of the antidote at the castle gates of my mind. When the afflictions increase their strength, I also increase my strength. When they relax, I relax as well. To be on guard in the battle against the afflictive motions of body, speech, and mind, Yeshiben Gungel would also place a small white pebble in a pile for each virtuous thought that occurred, and a small black pebble for each negative thought that occurred. When a virtuous thought arose, he would extend his right hand and say, "Dipshu victorious in moral discipline." And when a non-virtuous thought arose, he would extend his left hand and reprimand himself by saying, "Hey, you, Ben Gungel," and so forth. At another time, when he was staying at his benefactor's home, and his benefactor went outside, he put his hand in the tea container and was about to steal some tea, when he immediately recalled his commitments to moral discipline and yelled out with a loud voice, "You see," this was his way of applying the antidote. We should also strive to conduct ourselves in the same way as he did, and when we see that we are about to engage in some non-virtuous action, protect ourselves against it by applying the antidote. If we don't conduct ourselves in this way and are instead careless in the application of introspection, we will come under the influence of our negative mind as before. Once we have been overpowered by our mind of afflictive emotions, we will engage in a variety of negative actions that will be forever united with our afflictive emotions, as Shanti did with Gaja, the Bodhisattva's way of life states. A crazy, untamed elephant in this world cannot inflict the same kind of harm as the suffering of a vichy hell caused by the wild elephant of the mind. As stated above, you should guard your speech while you are with your friends and your mind when staying alone. For example, if you think, "If the king were to die, I would become the ruler," or "If such and such a person in one of these great households in the valley were to die, it would ask me to come perform rituals for his passing." Such thoughts create many causes for rebirth in the lower realms. Therefore, when such thoughts arise, you must immediately guard your mind. As scripture and a corresponding historical account state, if you don't welcome future suffering or you welcome future suffering, like the father of the famous moon, Chandrakirti. Thus, when you are alone, you must guard your mind by not letting your mind grasp at the kingdom of samsara and the lower realms. Among the body, speech, and mind, the body is of least importance, while the two doors of speech and mind are more serious. In particular, the mind carries the greatest risk of incurring negative karma. Therefore, you must infuse the various activities of your body, speech, and mind with virtue. If that happens, that is a real meditation training. Although you may remain inside your meditation house, if your mind roams around the entire region, this does not constitute being in retreat. When your body is in retreat, the mind of the practitioner should carry out introspection during the sessions and also the session breaks. If you complete your strict retreat without having engaged in the three root afflictive emotions or the eight worldly concerns, that is the real retreat. Mahasiddha Ling Rippa also stated, "In the mountain-like body composed of the four elements is the blissful cave of the primordial mind. Within it exists the wondrous place to practice. Gurus, if you are going to engage in a practice, do it there." Next, we must identify which actions are appropriate and inappropriate, right down to all the activities we undertake in our daily lives with our body, speech, and mind, including the movements of walking, moving around, lying down, and sitting. You should understand the appropriate diet. Jay Milarepa stated, "If you restrain yourself with respect to food, transference of consciousness will be easy." As this states, you should eat as much as you should not eat as much as you possibly can. Instead, you eat the correct proportion by dividing your stomach into four sections. Two sections should be filled with fluid, one portion be filled with food, and one portion should be empty to allow for the movement of air, to allow for digestion. Our compassionate teacher said that bhikshus and shramaneras should abandon food in the afternoon. It is also important to sleep for a lesser period of time for the sake of maintaining a clear awareness and so forth. We should not eat as much as we possibly can, otherwise food will naturally cause our awareness to become unclear. We should contemplate the faults that come from sleeping too much and so forth, searching for food, partaking of food, begging for food, and so on. We should put an end to our attachment to food by observing its faults. By recalling the negative karma that originates from food and drink, we should purify our thoughts regarding them. Moreover, we should consider food as medicine for the purpose prolonging the life expectancy of our body for the sake of practicing the Dharma. Nagarjuna's letter to a friend states, "An understanding that food is like medicine, rely upon it without attachment or hatred, not for the sake of vanity, more for the sake of grandeur. not for the sake of becoming stout, eat solely for the sake of sustaining your body. At this cessation stage, you should understand the correct proportions of foods so that you don't eat far too much or far too little. Do not eat with thoughts of attachment or hatred. Do not eat for the sake of conceitedness or vanity. Do not eat for the sake of grandeur or attachment to your youthful appearance, nor to assume an air of greatness or attractiveness. And do not eat food for the sake of you becoming stout and lustrous, or for the sake of you becoming well-proportioned. Instead, you should contemplate that you only eat for the sake of remaining this human body as well as benefiting your benefactor, accomplishing the welfare of all the living beings, and so on, thinking, in this way may I be able to benefit them by conducting myself perfectly, by establishing a beneficial connection with them through food and drink, such as meat, and so forth. The common mode of procedure is to think that the microorganisms you are currently assembling in your body to the material gifts made through food that you eat will be assembled in the future as disciples to whom you teach the karma. By experiencing them through the practices of secret tantra, through the burnt offering yoga of eating, and through the self-offering, will not incur a karmic debt from the misappropriation of offerings, and they will instead become a means of completing a great way for merit. Jay Milarepa stated, sometimes I eat and meditate. When I eat and meditate, it is because I have instructions for making my food portions into a soap offering. Machi Lobron stated, I have a dharma that allows me to sleep that you, my son disciple, do not know about. This makes this old woman concerned. There is the way in which learners accept the food that has been offered by the faithful, the way in which those who are no more learners accept it in the manner of the Lord, and the way in which those who are endowed with moral discipline accept offerings, as well as the way in which a karmic debt is incurred by those who do not possess moral discipline, are not diligent in their practice of dharma, and are immoral. Such persons without moral discipline partake of food given out of faith, it is like eating a blazing red heap of molten iron and is the cause of rebirth in hell and so forth. There's also the way in which you partake of offerings made out of faith and their faults and benefits, which vary according to the Hinayana and Mahayana. Thus, we should not be satisfied with merely eating pork, a dish of tampa, and so forth. Instead, we should eat after careful consideration, as explained earlier, whereby we also complete a great collection of merit. With respect to alcohol, it is not appropriate even for a householder, tantra practitioner to drink it. The teacher himself stated in the Vinaya scripture and the sutras that you should recall the three jewels as well as engage in the recitation of sutras and so forth while eating and drinking. You should also endeavor to practice the yoga of not sleeping. Regarding what to do when you do sleep, Nagarjuna stated in his letter to a friend, knowledgeable one, having passed the entire day as well as the upper and lower parts of the night in meditation session, sleep between those two periods with mindfulness so that your sleep does not become ineffective. The phrase knowledgeable one is a symbol of praising King Surabhadra. Nagarjuna is stating that you should engage in virtue during all parts of the day as well as the beginning and end of the night, and that it is permissible to sleep in the middle period of the night. Due to our overindulgence, we try our best to sleep all night and pass on. However, when the Buddha actualized enlightenment and actualized realizations such as the example and meaning clear life to the generation completion stage, he did so at dawn. Therefore, having become accustomed to sleeping in the morning, it will be difficult for us to practice true karma. For that reason, it is extremely important for us to also rise early at dawn. If you sincerely apply yourself to the means of not wasting your life during sleep, you'll be able to engage in yoga in which your practice becomes a continuous stream. When your tendency is to sleep face down, which is similar to the position of an animal, you'll have a deep sleep and your awareness will become unclear. When you sleep on your left shoulder like a demigod or hungry ghost, when you awaken from sleep, your mind will be agitated. There are numerous faults taught when you sleep flat on your back and so forth. Therefore, you should sleep in the manner they describe. Final deed of the Buddha revealed the correct manner of sleeping by lying down on his right shoulder in the lion posture. In general, sleep is a neutral and changeable mental factor. Therefore, whatever virtuous or non-virtuous thought processes you develop just before falling asleep will also transform the nature of your thought processes throughout the entire time you are asleep. The best way to accomplish this is through the completion stage. Therefore, Milarepa states, sometimes I sleep and meditate. When I sleep and sleep and meditate, it is because I am instructions on transforming sleep into the clear light. And this occurs even for an ordinary being who has engaged in virtuous practices in one life. These instructions are an incomparable way to practice. Even if such a thing doesn't occur, you should definitely employ the means of transforming sleep into virtue by meditating with certainty upon each virtuous mind, right down to going for refuge, regarding concentration and so forth. Those who meditate on emptiness should meditate with great force upon the view of emptiness as they are falling asleep, whereby when they sleep, it becomes a way of directing you toward the realization of emptiness. With respect to mindfulness during sleep, as you recite something such as going for refuge, this will immediately block any non-virtues you may recall. For the sake of having light sleep, meditate on white luminosity. Regarding the discrimination you should have on rising, it is important to set your intention by thinking, for the sake of sustaining this body, I shall sleep for a short while. Once I get up early tomorrow morning, I shall engage in virtuous actions. If you set your intention this way, you will definitely awaken from sleep early the next morning. We also know that if we need to do something like a village ritual tomorrow, and we set our intention tonight, we will be able to awaken from sleep early the next morning and so forth. If we are practicing according to mantra, and we're able to carry out the yoga washing, the yoga dressing, and so on according to the aforementioned instructions, there is not the slightest chance of such practices not being virtuous. Day 12. The great being Glory Shanti Deva stated in his guide to the Bodhisattva's way of life, if I do not engage in virtue now that I have the fortune to be able to practice virtue, how will I be able to when I am completely obscured by the suffering of the lower realms? If we don't take advantage of the opportunity to practice such an authentic dharma as this while we have found just this once, our current physical form that is suitable for the practice of the dharma, what need is there to mention practicing an authentic dharma once we have already taken rebirth in the lower realms? We'll not even have the freedom to merely recite the refuge prayer or employ the methods for dispelling our temporary suffering. For that reason, while we have this human body and have encountered a dharma such as this, we should do everything possible to extract its unique potential. For that reason, we should set our motivation as previously explained. I have already covered the subject under the heading of repeated explanation and how to conclude this session, and then while going over the meditations on the proper reliance upon the spiritual guide, how to dissolve the gurus emanated in the space before you and dissolve them into the guru on the crown of your head and so on. During the session breaks, you should examine the stories of how youthful Sudhana properly relied upon protecting Maitreya by extracting them from the Array of Stock Sutra, as well as the biography of Sadaprarujita by extracting from the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra and 8,000 lines and so forth. For the actual way to practice, you should employ an analytical meditation to the meditation topics from the proper reliance upon your spiritual guides up to superior seeing with the exception of tranquil abiding. With respect to placing the mind on a single meditation topic, this is placement meditation for which we shall use the topic of proper reliance upon the spiritual guide, which can then be used as an example for all the meditation topics. Using logic and reason, as well as scriptural references to repeatedly meditate with analysis on proper reliance upon spiritual guide, from all sides and every angle is analytical meditation. Moreover, this is analogous to thinking over the number of times that someone such as our enemy causes harm, as we do so our anger and so forth greatly increase. When we do so, we are engaging in analytical meditation on attachment, hate, ignorance, and so forth. Likewise, when we repeatedly engage in analytical meditation by moving to the proper reliance upon our spiritual guides, Tsongkhapa, three principal aspects of the path and so forth, this analytical meditation greatly increases the power of our mind. Regarding the procedure for analytical meditation, when the object under consideration is something such as proper reliance upon the spiritual guides and retraining in faith as the root, we establish the assertion with something such as how Vajradhara said that our guru is a Buddha, after which we apply scripture and reason as the proof of the reasoning that supports that assertion and so forth. When we repeatedly engage in analytical meditation in this way, and then develop powerful ascertaining consciousness that has no other thought than my guru is an actual Buddha, we have elicited an experience of that subject whereby we engage in placement meditation on that exact thought. The source for the existence of analytical and placement meditation is the ornament in the Mahayana Sutras. And that text, it states that initially on the basis of study, mental investigation into the proper reliance upon the spiritual guide comes first. The wisdom realizing authentic meaning of the object emerges from meditation based on mental investigation and so on. Furthermore, the understanding of the meaning that is developed by listening to the Lamrim and the presence of a guru is the realization arisen from listening and is called ascertainment, an assumption developed through the force of another. For this, if you abandon your premise because someone says you are incorrect, then it will change into something else. Regarding the special ascertaining consciousness that is even clearer than your previous understanding, which came from repeated meditation on the meanings of what you previously listened to and is like a storehouse, this is called developing wisdom arisen from thought. It is self-powered and is an ascertainment developed through an inferential valid cognizance that cannot be changed into something else. Next, when you gain a direct perception of the meaning through repeated meditation, it is a realization arisen from meditation. The ornament in the Mahayana Sutra states, the limb of ascertainment and the path of seeing are the path of meditation itself. Repeated reflection, assessment, and definite realization are the meditation. The limb of ascertainment is the path of accumulation during which one must gain an analytical meditation. The phrase repeated reflection refers to the four types of reasoning applied to the meaning of what was studied during the path of preparation. Through repeated reflection during the path of seeing, you repeatedly assess the meaning during the path of seeing through the nine stages of tranquil abiding. During the path of meditation, employ meditative absorption upon that repeated analysis. The well-explained reasoning states, employing reflection is for the sake of ascertaining the meaning of what was studied. Employing assessment is for perfecting reasoning, which itself is taught for the sake of utilizing a special object of perception. With respect to employing investigation, it is an aspect of meditation used for the sake of individual realization of the meaning apprehended in that way. Shanti Deva's compendium trainings also explain the existence of both analytical and placement meditation. There is no reason that analytical meditation is not meditation, because no matter how long you employ placement meditation on the mere thought, my guru is a Buddha, it will not be possible for this to elicit an experience, and you have developed strong thoughts such as lack of faith in your guru, you will not be capable of overcoming that lack of faith through merely thinking that your guru is a Buddha. Therefore, it is indispensable to employ analytical meditation using scriptures, reasoning, examples, logical arguments, the meanings of which are also presented in this text. For example, the explanation that once you superimpose a defining characteristic of attractiveness upon an object of attachment, you create a basis for the development of afflictive emotions and so forth is explained here. Very well then, what is engaging in analytical meditation and what is engaging in placement meditation? Reply, tranquil abiding and small portions of the generation completion stages are placement meditation, while you should apply analytical meditation to all the rest. With respect to tranquil abiding and so forth, you engage in placement meditation for the sake of reinforcing a factor of stability. Also, according to authoritative scriptures, both ascetic meditators and scholars need to utilize both analytical and placement meditation. Our inability to generate general realizations of the Lamrim comes from not knowing how to perform analysis and placement. When someone such as a philosopher thinks over the meaning of logical arguments and conclusions, and the way to arrange formal arguments, for the most part, this is analytical meditation. Although there are some who claim that by engaging in a great deal of thought as analytical meditation, you are involved in conceptual elaboration, which is an obstacle to enlightenment, this is utterly incorrect. Regarding concepts creating obstacles for enlightenment, it is the conceptions that constitute inappropriate attention, such as attachment, anger, grasping a true existence, and so on, that are creating the obstacles to enlightenment. However, the three principal aspects of the path, point, refuge, action, and their effects, and so on, constitute appropriate attention and are correct conceptions of the cause of enlightenment. Therefore, it is impossible that they could be creating obstacles to enlightenment.
Yes, you yell like this here.
Yeah, please have a seat. Have a seat, have a seat.
Good afternoon. Yeah, alhamdulillah. So, how many pages you read?
18 pages.
Oh, very good. Any questions?
Yes, Geshe-la. There's a question from a section. We're in day 11, close to the end, and a little way into this section on session breaks. It says, in this practice, we block the generation of attachment for the 6 pleasing objects and hatred for the 6 displeasing objects that is subsequently generated by not allowing the mind to engage in whatever appears to your consciousness. And the question is, what are the 6 pleasing objects and 6 unpleasing objects?
There are probably more than 1,000. That's good news. There's only 6. So that's good news. Quite easy to challenge. Called at the end of the day, 6, day 11.
Yes, Geshe-la, it's close to the end of day 11. Maybe a few paragraphs before the end.
Talking about the sleeping?
It's before that, Geshe-la.
Talking about eating?
Before.
It's really very, very shortly after the heading on the session breaks. So it's... talking about restraining the doors of the senses, developing an awareness of the pleasing objects and displeasing objects.
Before the session or end of the session?
In a section that says the session breaks.
Yeah, so then after that or before that?
After that.
It's
about being careful what you let your mind become engaged in during the session breaks.
Geshe-la, it's before the quote by Gyaltse Tongme.
Oh, yeah, okay, so now... The only God done. Only God done. Well, the chasing chickens and the dogs. She, you, you to home for me home. The Shiva Chim. Chana for Chim. The you. You truly support it more. Thank you. So then YouTube, so then that like a Sonda Tiro Research. So form, sound, smell, test, tactile, something that you can touch. So then there's another one called Chujichinji Vesu. There's another one, I don't know how to say in English. Chujichinji Vesu. Yeah, if you are familiar with that dissolution process, you may be aware of this sixth origin. Yeah, the six types of objects, the last one is called phenomena, dharma, probably not the best translation, but object of, form, yes, I said like the last one is called, it's called like a phenomena, so these are the six objects. So then what is called? It's called like so then in the form, something that you don't like, shape, colors, form, something you like, this, you know, so then this same thing applies. Sound, some sound become attached. Some sound bothers you, same like the smell, taste, or same thing. So the last one is like a concert. Yeah, becoming attached to so there are certain things that like change the source, no? Sometimes that kind of like manifested in the expression like according to the situation, expression, facial expressions. Maybe that's incorrect. So anyway, so there are certain phenomena that like such as like day, year, month, change, things like that, you know. So these are the six objects, okay? Then what else? It does not that you got six objects, so there's something that pleasant, unpleasant, same thing. Each one has pleasant, unpleasant, that no. Then what else?
Okay, guess what? There was another question. This is in the question on, in the section on sleep, very close to the end of day 11. The question is, how do you transform sleep into clear light? Let me find the reference.
in the quote by what Milarepa states.
Oh.
Sometimes I sleep and meditate. When I sleep and meditate, it is because I have instructions on transforming sleep into the clear light. It's the last quote at the end of the chapter.
Yeah, well, I found two. So what happens in the Vajrayana teachings? So what happens in the Vajrayana teachings? So sleep is part of the mind. It's not physical. Sleep is part of the mind. It's there are 51 secondary mental factors, and sleep is one of them. 51 mental factors, secondary mental factors. So sleep is one of them. So in that categories, there are four of them. It's kind of like changeables. Could become non-virtuous, could become virtuous, could become just neutrals. So then sleep is one of them. Regret is one of them. So another two, it's called Togje, so I have to translate in English. So anyway, sleep is such as kind of is a mental factor or secondary. It's not a primary mental factor, but it's the secondary mental factor. That's what sleep is. So I'm not sure how the science defines sleep. I'm not sure how you define sleep. Actually, according to Buddha's teachings, the Buddhist philosophical text, the sleep is a secondary mental factor. What happens when we sleep? So same process that happens when we die, if the four elements dissolve one by one. So that's what happens. So when we die, so then the last stage is that you kind of black out, so then you come back. So then experience they discover in the chest like Pamcha Tongpa is like completely empty. That your experience is going to be like something like Pamcha Tongpa Vesa. It's like looking in the autumn sky, like usually in order to see the clear sky, there are like certain moonlight obscure you to see the clear sky or nature of the sky. Of course, sunlight, moonlight, so then the dust. So in the autumn seasons, so there's been quite a bit of rain, so then all the dust has been settled down. And then the sky, there's not moonlight, that you basically experience the nature of sky. So that that everybody experience. Some kids, they say it's like mother light, clear light, mother light, same thing. So that when you're sleeping, when you reach that, so that then you're trying to combine that experience with experience of shunyata. So that's called child light that you basically produce through meditations. So then you kind of like combine those two lights, the experience of child light that you have when you meditate on shunyata. When you're awake, so you meditate on this death dissolution process you go through, so there's another opportunities that you, there's like more like visualize, through visualizations that you could reach to the last stages, so that you can meditate on that, or real opportunities, like real things that happen when we die. So then, another time, you know, when you sleep, so then you go through that, you reach that. So there, so then you kind of like, combine these two experiences. One is happening because of the sleep. The one that already has been built through meditations, so then you kind of combine them or mix them or introduce them. So that's what it means like here. So as I was saying that meditating on clear light. So Milarepa said sometimes he meditated on death during the sleep. So that's why he's been practicing that. So every sleep that Milarepa experienced clear light, every sleep. So then in the last the dissolution stage, last just like that's all explained in the death dissolution process. So that's what happened. Basically, was a mixing sleep. That's what it's called. Ni sleep without clear light. Same is mixed. So there's one particular practice in Vajrayana, the Hatha Yoga Tantra, in generating stage, not a complete stage. Hatha Yoga Tantra, two stages, generating stage and generating stage, that's where you practice. Actually, you are qualified to really practice the death dissolution process. There's a main practice in the generating stages. So then the complete stages that you manage to send the energy to the central channel by meditations. So when the central channel opens up, so then you go through this like the great bliss going through chakras. So then experience this what's called like gashi, four bliss and four empty. The four empty, the last one is all empty. So empty, great empty, very empty, then all the great all empty, that's the last one. That's the different way to call. So there, so that's what's happening here. Of course, it's mixing sleep with the clear light. Okay? Yeah, that's it. So,
there are no other questions in chat or on YouTube, Geshe-la.
Good news. So that means then continue to read, please.
Oh, okay. There's a new question. The question is, I can't sleep on my right side. Is this important or not?
There's like, so why you see the Buddha, you know, like when Buddha went to Parinirvana, so the Buddha is laying on the right side of the body like this. So what is the significance of that? What's the significance of that? You know, like, so that's like, actually, when we die, the consciousness leave the body. There's like seven different doors that the consciousness can lift, descend from that body. There's seven different ways. Seven or nine, or sometimes mentioned nine, sometimes mentioned seven. So anyway, so that so that way of sleeping will probably block certain draw to make sure that consciousness does not descend from the certain draws. that's what indicated Buddha's. Then Buddha went to Parinirvana, laying on the right side of the body. So there's a significant aspect. Automatically block the certain draws that consciousness descends. But shouldn't worry if you are not. You can sleep like that. No, you sleep whatever comfortable. You can sleep whatever way is comfortable for you. Just sleep. Don't worry. So don't need to worry. So if the sleep can mix with the clear light, why you worry? So that doesn't matter. How you sleep is not like the mixing the sleep with the clear light is not based on how you sleep, you know. Long that you have, you need to sleep. If you can sleep, so they can mix. So doesn't matter how you sleep. But the reason, oh, there's a like reclining Buddha, why this, as I said, to block, automatically block the sudden draw, the consciousness will descend probably, generally speaking, not definitive. Not definitely. How is it? Not definitely. How is it? Defeat.
Oh, defeat.
Definitely. How is it?
Is it definite? Not definite. It's not definite.
Sounds similar, but it's a little bit different, I think. Definitely.
Definitively.
Yeah.
How you say?
Definitively.
Yeah, all that. So you say it, so I don't know. So there's a difference. So it's not, generally speaking, it's not defeat.
Definitive.
Yeah, it's not definitive. It's not definitive, you know, like, generally speaking, so, I don't know, like, yeah, if you don't pass away like this, doesn't mean that consciousness will go to lower realm. It's not definitive. Definitive? Definitive is not definitive. Okay,
Geshe, so there's also a clarification on the first question.
This is just water, no beer. It's not beer. This is sparkling water. So I have like proof. Neely is here, so she knows this is not. And then?
Okay, so there's a question. Geshe-la, when I am guarding my thoughts, unwanted negative thoughts arise, and then aversion arises, which leads to anger. What is the best way to guard from negative thoughts without aversion arising?
Yeah, there are a few different methods. Now, you can just look at the thought, that negative thought, you just look at it, you know, so not need to do anything, just look at, not like. It's a matter of time, it will disappear. Or maybe you can directly object. Directly objugate. Objugate. You can directly challenge with the knowledge. So in that case, then you have to become like a skill like sword. No, you can just say man or woman, just that I'm not a skilled sword person. You have to be a skilled sword person. Then you can fight with everything like the thought. It's like arrow, somebody shooting. Whoever is shooting the arrow, that person is also very skilled. Archer. It's not just anybody who's that person is like skilled, very skilled archers. Shooting the arrow probably will not miss the target. So that kind of archers. So you have to be skilled sort person. So you can't just space out, you know, that you have to be very mindful. Every arrow that comes like thought, so then you have to stop them. There's a second way to do. If that negative thought acts like the bird in the cage, that every single moment desperately want to get out, to get out. So then that boat is in the middle of the oceans. Now it's not close to the shore, close to the land. That boat is in the middle of the oceans. So then, if that bird is like desperately trying every moment trying to get out of the cage, so what you need to do, you just need to let it go. You just need to let it go. Then it will go and it will probably fly, then realize nowhere to land beside the boat. It will come back to the boat. So then probably will relax there, so they now realize there's nowhere to go. So before you thought there is somewhere to land or somewhere to go, but they realize there's nowhere to go, kind of exhausted, then come back. So then we'll come back to the meditations, the first one, doing nothing, or looking at the thought very closely, either the neutral, positive, negative, looked at very closely, then it's going to be like bubble in the water. It will burst. It rises from the water. When it bursts, it will just burst into the water, and there's no, you can't see. It's just water. So water is like probably like the meditation that you are doing meditations. So then the kind of like bubble pops up like this. Yeah, then you can clearly see this like bubble. So when it busts, then there's no bubbles. There's no different than thought. So that one is highly praised as very beneficial for the beginner who has just begun to meditate, you know, someone who's just begun to meditate. Not just for the beginner, for the whole meditators, very highly praised by Yogi Saraha, Yogi Shavari, then also Yogi, great Yogi, you know, like Telopa, Naropa, all of that, highly praised that method. So do nothing, just stare. The thought right, just look at. It will burst like bubble. It appears from the water, it will burst into the water. So you need to do nothing. Okay, so just every thought, neutral, positive, negative. So when you are doing like single-pointed meditations, even like thinking about generosity become obstacles. Generally speaking, good things. No, so when you are doing single-pointed meditation, make sure that your mind is on the object. That is the important. This is the most important things. Even you are thinking something like positive things, or making offering, cleaning altar, making offering, all of that become obstacle. It's not negative things. Some texts say, "Oh, these are negative things," so they don't understand. They don't understand. This is not negative things, but it is obstacles for your meditations. Because you are here trying to develop your concentrations, like concentrating on the object. So you, here the job is to be with the object. Oh, so then analyzing is not like moving away from the objects. You are analyzing, or introspection has been applied while you are on the object. If you are applying that, if you are not on the object, doesn't do any good. So being on the object, so that's the most important thing, being the object. So you can do that, being an object, realize negative thought pops up. So not all the attentions, but some separate set of mind look at that thought very closely, stare almost like anything that appears will disappear. That's the nature. Everything that appears will disappear. No, so everything that begins has end. It will end some point. It will end. Whether you put effort or not, it will end. So, if you have like we don't analyze thought pops up all the time. We don't analyze how long that thought. Will be there. We don't analyze. We don't use like stopwatch. If you use the stopwatch, you can see each thought how long it will last. The thought usually doesn't last very long. Not talking about the memory, the thought. When it rises, it doesn't last very long. So there's a couple of methods. Second one, you fight. You challenge. Second one, like swordman. Sword person. Then the third one, the treat is the thought like the bird that's in the cage in the middle of the oceans. See, your thought is like that. So that's I think that's the fourth dimension in the some text. Okay, something there. What else?
No more questions right now, Geshe-la.
Okay, time.
We have about 20 minutes.
Oh yeah. If there's no more questions, then maybe it's time to read more. So far, how many pages we have, and how many more pages to go?
We've read 18 pages today.
Altogether, Hamala, altogether. Since from the beginning of this time, when we started the text, how much page we read?
About 235, I think.
Yeah, 235. So how many more pages to go?
Let's see, I think about 400.
400 pages to go?
Yeah, something like, more than that, a little bit more than that.
Oh, that sounds very good. So, I hope you are learning something. I hope you are learning a great deal of history, and the practice is very good. So now, you finished the day number 11? 11?
Yes, we have.
So then please maybe read more. If there's no more questions, that means kind of happy, because that means you understood almost everything. That's great news. Yeah, then Lamala, please read. There's 20 minutes. Please read a little more.
We're on the page 235 at the bottom, if you have the hard copy.
Oh, day 12?
Yes, of day 12. Do you need to know where we are, Geshe-la?
No, no, I'm already on that same page.
The assertion that both good conceptions and bad conceptions are all obstacles to enlightenment, and the assertion that it is inappropriate for the mind to engage in them in any way whatsoever, were the views of the Chinese abbot Ashang Mahayana.
Alice, so I'm not sure, I thought the day 12 begin with the Shantideva's quote.
No, we're way into day 12.
Oh, you already started day 12?
Yes, Geshe-la.
Okay, so I thought that then, yeah, so now, yeah, please read to her. Let's talk about the Ashang Mahayana.
According to a prophecy, when such bad views as these arose, Master Shantarachita invited Master Kamalashila to debate with Ashang. And Kamalashila put an end to Ashang's bad views by refuting them. Furthermore, Ashang's view was the extreme of nihilism. Therefore, those meditating on that view were going to Avicii hell. With the intention of putting an end to this, Master Shantarachita invited Master Padmasambhava, who together with his 25 main disciples and so on, had a view that was completely pure. Afterward, the mistaken view of Ashang went to numerous areas. Although the Kagyus such as Marpa, Milarepa, and so on had the authentic view of the Prasangika, from the time of Dakpo Laje Gompopa onward, there were some who had a mistaken view that was reminiscent of Hashang's view. These days as well, there are many upholders of such views. Moreover, it is said that when Ashang went back to China, he left one of his shoes behind in Tibet. Due to this detrimental inauspiciousness, great harm had been done. Regarding the teaching that states, with respect to gold and silver, a blacksmith or a blacksmith's apprentice who is skilled and so forth, the repeated analysis with the wisdom of individual investigation on the side of virtue, the mind can be made serviceable with respect to the three principal aspects of the path. Regarding the term non-conceptual, this refers to a mind set single-pointedly upon an object of observation and also contains the essential points of tranquil abiding meditation. Now we come to a new section. How to train the mind once you have relied upon the spiritual guide has two sections. One, encouragement for the sake of extracting the essence of this human existence. Two, how to extract such essence. Encouragement for the sake of extracting the essence of this human existence.
Day 13?
We're still on day 12.
Okay.
Yeah, we have two pages to day 12, day 13.
Day 13?
No, we're still on day 12. It's before leisure and opportunity.
Oh. Yeah, so far no questions. Please continue to read then.
The fact that, with the exception of our attachment to our belongings, we don't have any desire to extract the essence of our leisure and endowment, is the fault of not recognizing this life of leisure and endowment. Therefore, so that we don't continue to act in that way from now on, we need encouragement to extract the essence of this leisure and endowment, for which there are three sections. One, identifying leisure and endowment. Two, contemplating their great value from a temporary perspective and contemplating their great value from an ultimate perspective. Three, contemplating the great difficulty in obtaining a life of leisure and endowment. Identifying leisure and endowment. Regarding leisure, the collection of precious good qualities states, due to a code of conduct, one continually attains leisure by abandoning the causes of the nature of a multitude of migrations, such as animals and the eight states lacking freedom. If one is a Dharma practitioner with freedom.
Pamela, this part I think is important to us to understand the reasons. Like this is, if someone asks like how to meditate on precious human life, so this is exactly how you meditate on precious human life. It requires some knowledge, some understanding why this life is precious, difficult to find, and so meaningful, that doing, in order to do meditation on precious human life, first, so need to do review meditations, why it's so precious. So now all these explanations that one can review mentally. So then after that, analytical meditations, or analyzing. So then after that, thinking deeper level, deeper meditations. So then hopefully, so that deeper level of meditations will produce meditative experience, meditative experience. So the next time when you say, talk or think about precious human lives, then it has some weight. It means something than just what precious human life. So that in order to do productive meditation on precious human life, so we need this knowledge, okay? So that's why it's important, no? Yeah. Amla. Yes, I'm just sharing. Sorry, just sharing. Review meditations, analytical meditations, so then concentration meditations or single point meditations. That's how it's been done on the topic by topic. You know, it is important because we don't have much faith in ourselves. No, we don't have faith in ourselves. We don't see ourselves as something precious. Not good. It's not good. You know, so it is precious. It's not based on how you look, how much you possess. There's nothing to do with that. Simply that, What Lama Tsongkhapa said, in the song of experience, the Lam Rim that composed by Lama Tsongkhapa, what Lama Tsongkhapa said. Lam Chok Dublas, Tsingi Tsarikas, Lam Chok Dublas. Actualizing any realizations, Lamrim realizations, such as precious human life, actualizing any realizations need this body. Without this body, impossible. Any spiritual development based on Lamrim teaching taught by Lama Adisha, Lama Tsongkhapa, you need this body. Without this body, we cannot actualize even one single lambrin like a pat. You can't do much. Parrot, the bird, can say mantra or manape mehu. What it means nothing. Do you know the meaning? Probably no. It will check. I'm not sure you can really teach the meaning of the money mantra to the parrot, but you can teach the word. If that parrot becomes to be human, you can teach the parrot what om means, what ma means, what you can teach that. If the parrot, that parrot has been is human, you can teach them syllable by syllable what it means, and it will understand based on the how much attention that person gives. So that's why Lamjo Dula Senior Samiti Mani Paso such a means. If you don't have this one, you can't do much. Mama few words here, there, that's it. It is not knowing what it means. Lamjo Dula Senior Samiti Mani Paso such a means. Therefore, now, so make sure that you get another one. We can do now, we can create the course for another one, many more in the future life, needed in order to reach the highest level of spiritual realizations this body is needed. So we don't see this something important, we don't see this is difficult to find, we don't see this is meaningful, we don't see this is precious. That's not really good, no. So this is precious, this is very precious. So that's something that all of us need to think every single day. So this freshness could sleep, no clue. You have idea, or maybe idea of what you're going to do next year, 21, how when you're going to retire, we have all kinds of ideas. But those ideas not supported by valid base, it's just idea. What is the reality? You will lose this, definitely. There's no questions. There's no discussion needed. Everybody will lose this body. It's only a matter of time. That's definite. Doesn't matter your status, your title. Doesn't matter. That is definite. That will happen for everybody. It's not like, oh, it will happen. No. When it happens, we have no clue. We have ideas, we have no clue. Well, could happen tomorrow. Better to that's why it's so amazing that you can think something positive. You can motivate yourself to do something good. It's quite amazing. It's really amazing that you can motivate to think something good. So that ability could be gone every moment. Oh, so that's precious human life. So then after that, you need to think about impermanent. You can't just put it up. When? Now, think now. You can't wait. Think now. Think now. Help now. Don't wait. You have to help yourself. You have to help yourself. That's your moral responsibility. That's what Kadama Master said, my precious previous life gave me this such a wonderful gift. So I myself make sure that I don't throw this gift out of the clip. You have moral obligation. You have moral responsibility to push up. Make sure you don't push up the cliff. This is your moral responsibility, because you received such a wonderful gift from your precious previous life. You give this wonderful gift, so you better use this now. So produce more wonderful gift. So we have to help ourselves. That's our moral obligations. Whether we can help all mother sending beings or not, at least we have to help ourselves. And also, So then meditating on a precious human life is the process of helping yourself. That's the very beginning, before you do anything else. So what meditation that you needed in order to help yourself? Precious human life. Realization of precious human life. Now you are putting so much effort because you are reviewing why it's precious, you are going to the materials that we are just reading now, you are going through them and you are analyzing them, then you are thinking very deep. Eventually, it becomes automatic. So that's called realization. You don't need to put any effort, it just absorb. So then, even just saying some mantra, doing something, that you kind of feel amazed, wow, this is like such a wonderful opportunity that I'm having, I'm so fortunate. But I can't believe I'm just doing this, so that kind of life. So achievement is not based on material things, You can achieve something every day, you can achieve something every day, something very wonderful things you can achieve. It's nothing to do with the material things. Achievement is not based on the material possessions. Here, the achievement is very much based on the mind. Mind, so now healthy, when we get sick, we can't think clearly. So we must do something good physically, mentally, orally, reading prayer, reciting mantra, doing meditations, whatever we do, do now when you're healthy. When you get sick, it's difficult, it's not easy. So the best time to take essence out of this precious human life, when you're healthy, that's the best time. That's the best time. So then every day, then in the beginning it's difficult, so then you become familiar, same like driving. You don't just drive, get into the car, you just don't drive. So you go to take tests, then somebody teach you how to drive, then you drive one time, two times, three times, so then you drive without thinking. Same thing. Shanti Deva said, Kum na lawa machu, if you try to make familiar with anything, there's nothing that doesn't become familiar. Master Shanti Deva said very clearly. If you can tolerate small difficulties, then you may be able to tolerate bigger difficulties. Who said Master Shanti Deva said? It's very true, it's very true. In the beginning, of course, put in some effort. So the same like walking. The first time, you've not been walking, first time you walk a little bit, you can soar here, there. Second time, become easier. Third time, it become easier, become easier, easier. Why? Because you are doing this every day, so it becomes easier, easier. Same thing, everything, same thing. learning how to make banana bread. First banana bread may not turn out very good. So then, second time, it will be a little better. Then third time, it will be a little better. Fourth, fifth time, it will become better, better. Then you are either teaching someone how to make banana bread, because you have no clue how to make banana bread. And bread, the banana bread that you made, is like nobody can eat. So me and my friend, another monks who came to visit me, so we are trying to make banana bread because I like banana bread. So he said, Krishna, don't follow the instructions. If you follow the instructions, he has his own idea. He said, if you follow the instructions, the recipes, you will never make better one. You don't follow the recipes. I said, okay, all right. So if you say so. So then we put that banana bread. When it came out, nobody can eat. Our first banana bread was disaster. Nobody can eat it. There's too much blood, it's all kind of like, not like a piece of brick. So there's like the instruction recipe, I think there are some measure of how much. So that if something went wrong there, maybe then it doesn't come out very good. So then learn, everything is a learning process, you learn. So to get better, 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 then you can teach. Same thing, same thing, same thing. precious human life, maybe it's kind of difficult for somebody. You know, I can't think of myself as precious and I don't like myself. And so they've come very unfortunate. So this material that you're reading now will help. Moral obligations, that we have moral obligations to use this gift best as possible. So the precious previous life gives you this such a wonderful gift. So this gift may not be here forever. So that want to think something good, think something positive, do something, say something positive, or do something positive, don't wait, please do now. Why? Help yourself, that's all. Help yourself. Why that's important? Just moral obligations. Moral obligations. So don't just say, I love myself. No. Need to show some actions. Okay? So then, this good every day you're thinking about precious, the day begins with a precious human life, or then you kind of get excited to do something positive. Nothing to do with religion. It's just helping yourself. It's the past process. It's helping yourself. We help ourselves. Okay? So then, maybe slowly, then you can help others. No? If you can help others, that's wonderful. If not, at least helping yourself. That's very important. Moral obligation. So these meditations. So now next time, how to do meditation on precious human life? Need some knowledge. So that's why we are reading this, okay? Just want to share that. And I myself try every single day. I try to remind myself that my life is precious every single day. Try to remind myself my life is precious. So then, you know, like, feel good. Feel good because, like, what you can do. That's why I feel good to what you can do, what you can accomplish. Yeah, you can accomplish every day something. It's not there so many days again. It's just something you do by your mind. So then end you feel good. So then you become better. I believe what Shanti Deva said. I said in Shanti Master Shanti Deva or what Master Shanti Deva said. It will become easier. So then, some lama in Tibet, there's no car, they use horse. When they ride a horse, one side to the other side, before the first lama put his feet on the other side of the horse, entire lama meditation will be done. How is that possible? That is possible. So eventually, you don't become dependent on what, you just, everything is you depending on the meaning, not on the word. Meaning. So that's kind of like entire learning message has been done when you're riding a horse, but before you, when you put the one hand, one feet, the other side of the horse, you finish entire learning message. Oh, possible. Very possible. here, on the thumb, size of thumb here, see the entire mandala. How that possible? It is possible. It's possible because when your concentration becomes so strong, when you look at the glass, you almost feel like you can count every single atom in that glass. You feel like you can count almost every single atom in that glass. That means, therefore, it is possible to visualize entire mandala in your thumbnail. It's possible. Looking from here, is this hole is so small, but you can see entire house. Like that, it's very possible. So, just encouraging you. So, need to do every day, okay? So, maybe now time is, finished. So, next time they reach, so then that's how you meet your precious human life. This is very important topic in Lamrim, in the very beginning, okay? Process of helping yourself. Small scope is all about helping yourself. In Lamrim, small scope is all about helping yourself. That's all. and helping yourself. Okay, to think about this. When you study a small scope, that's a, you are starting the process how to help yourself. Okay, not just this life, many more life in the future. You are not just thinking about this life. You are thinking, you are doing something that benefits many more in the future. It's not just small things. It's not just small things. You are doing something that benefits. There's a multiple benefit, multiple life. Okay? Well, yeah, thank you very much. So, sorry if there's so much been said. So I think it's necessary. It's important. So, and everyone have a wonderful night. And maybe see you next Wednesday. Okay? Samula will do short dedications.
Due to the merits of these virtuous actions, may I quickly attain the state of a Guru Buddha and lead all living beings without exception into that enlightened state. May the supreme jewel bodhicitta that has not arisen arise and grow. May that which has arisen not diminish but increase more and more. Just as the brave Manjushri and Samanta Bhajashu realize things as they are, we too dedicate all these merits in the best way that we may follow their perfect example. We dedicate all these roots of virtue with a dedication praised as the best by the victorious ones of Sanna the three times so we might perform good works. We dedicate whatever virtues we have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of perfect Tirulosamdrapa to shine forever. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrai the Kenten Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, one with great patience received the name Amatare, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa and Glisten Boyd, Lama Ornament of the Yellow Hat Tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You uphold the subduer's moral way who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjanasa Doris doctrine, masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, savior of myself and those as your disciples, please, please live long. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Oh yeah, thank you so much. So have a wonderful night.